Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you're enjoying summer. You know, we sang that opening song, and it's interesting. We sang about God's recreation, is the way Ange pronounced it. But it can be pronounced God's re-creation of the new day. And it just hit me that recreation is really meant to, you know, recreate life in us. And for those of us in the Northeast, you know, summer tends to be our time to do that sort of thing. We get a little recreation in life, and then come September or around then, it's like full bore the rest of the year. So I just pray that your recreation this summer is breathing life into who you are and into your soul as followers of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would be with us now as we talk about you, God, and the person of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In June of 1993, I had arthroscopic surgery on my left knee. For years, this knee had been giving me fits. If I worked in my shop on a cement floor for a long time, it would ache. If I climbed a ladder, even to just do something simple, it would ache. And then every once in a while, it would simply lock up. And I literally would limp around because it would not bend. And then after, you know, maybe a week or a few days, it was erratic. It would begin to move again. My muscles would be tight, but I could finally get my leg moving again. And I went on like this for 10 or 15 years because I am stubborn and because I am cheap. And I did not want to go to the doctor and those sorts of things. When I finally went to the doctor in 1993, the doctor said, they took, you know, MRI or whatever it was, and said, "You need a simple arthroscopic surgery." That I had a piece of cartilage about an inch long that was floating around inside my knee. And the reason my knee would lock up is every once in a while it would float into a place where it would prevent the joint from moving. And then after a few days it might float to another place and I could start moving again. And the doctor said, "If we take that out, you won't have those problems." And they went in and they had to repair some other stuff, and it probably went back to an injury I had either in eighth grade or in high school sports. After surgery, I went for physical therapy. And as I sat in the office of the physical therapist for the first time in gym shorts, her first response was, "Oh my." And the doctor had actually said that too. But I thought the doctor was talking about the cartilage. What the physical therapist noticed is that my left leg had about 60 to 70% atrophy of its muscles over the course of that 10 to 15 years. Because I had been favoring it all the time, because it would go into lockdown when I couldn't move, that muscle had atrophied, and I wasn't going to the gym and doing those sorts of things at that time. And the physical therapist could see my leg and realized immediately, before she even measured it, that I was in trouble and physical therapy would take extra long time. Now, I share that story with you because we have been on a journey talking about the core things of the faith. We have talked about God the Father. We have talked about Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. And one of the problems in the church is that we don't understand the Holy Spirit and the incredible ways God has designed for the Holy Spirit to work in the life of the church. And because we don't understand it, because we don't think about it, because we don't worship the Holy Spirit, because we don't listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, the church is atrophying at critical places, just like my leg atrophied from not being used properly. And so this morning, I want to walk us through four ways that the Holy Spirit functions in the life of a believer and in the life of the church that really are astoundingly important and critical for the life and the health of the church. To help us and to help you get a handle on this, I have a little memory aid for you. It's just a compass. And each ordinal will serve as a reminder for one of those key ways the Holy Spirit works in the life of believers and the church. So we'll go to North first. And North stands for new birth. God, the Holy Spirit, works in the lives of people to prepare their hearts to receive Jesus and come to faith in Jesus. Before you or I ever say yes to God and confess Jesus as Lord, God the Holy Spirit has been working on us, tilling the soil of our lives, unclogging our ears so that the message of the gospel all of a sudden makes sense where maybe before it didn't. By bringing people to you from whom you could hear the message of Jesus. You know, there's certain people that just have our respect or get our attention. And the Holy Spirit in the background is orchestrating all of those things so that we can come to that place where we finally say, I believe in Jesus. And the story I'll just read for us is in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we're told, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. That's interesting, by the way. You know, there's probably some peer pressure. He's part of the council. He's part of the leading Jewish people, and they're not liking Jesus. So he probably came at night because it's a little safer. And you know what? God simply accepts us. He's like, okay, I'll take you where you are, and I'll lead you where we want to go. So he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, you know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely you cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at this, saying, you must be born again. So Jesus is explaining the process, and he says we go through a natural birth. We've all been there. We may not remember that, but I guarantee we've all been there. And he says, by analogy, to come to faith, we go through this new birth. It's a birth not, you know, of water, not of human elements, but it's a birth that comes from God through the Spirit. And he brings life to the heart, so the heart can confess Jesus. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Later on, John says this about the Spirit. He says, Jesus is speaking and he says in John 16, now I am going to him who sent me. Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, that's one of John's names for the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. And about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. See, one of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our life is that He convicts us that we need God, that we have been and are a sinner, and that we desperately need God. None of us wants to face that truth. It is not a human trait to want to face the fact that we've done wrong. How many here, you don't really have to raise your hand, are good at rationalizing when you do something you know. You speak a word that hurts to a friend or a family member. You know the deal. And what is our natural temptation, at least for me, maybe I'm the only one in the room. Oh, well, I've got a billion, I can come up with excuses immediately. Well, that was, see, we want to rationalize. But it's God, the Holy Spirit, who works in us to allow us to see the truth about ourselves, not so that we, you know, crumble to the point where we feel horrible and start shaming ourselves, but so that we can realize, oh my goodness, I need help. And our eyes can be opened to Jesus, who graciously wants to say, hey, I forgive you. I wipe you clean. So it's a redemptive sense of convicting with sin. It's a tough job, but it's a necessary one. And just one more stop in 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, he says, therefore I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Spirit that is working within us to allow us to make that singular, greatest proclamation of our lives, that Jesus is Lord. And when we can truly make that statement from our heart, then we are what Jesus says in John. We are born again because we have recognized that Jesus is who Scripture says He is. And if we are going to call Him Lord, it's not just a name. You know, you're Bob, you're Sam, you're Jane. No, you're Lord. You are the one I will follow. The Holy Spirit is the one who works in people's lives to bring them to that point of new birth. And so, folks, I pause just for a moment and ask you the question only you can answer. Have you cooperated with what God the Holy Spirit is doing in your life and said yes to Jesus? You're not here by accident. You're not hearing this message. You don't have particular friends who've been speaking into your life by accident. It's by the design and work of God the Holy Spirit. And there comes to that point where you need to say, yes, I will confess Jesus as Lord. Have you? If we're going to go to the north, well, then we'll go to the south. And there's two words that connect with the S. The first word is sanctification. Now, that's the big church word, you know, like doctors have words, you know, thrombosis, you know, hematoma. No, it's a black and blue mark, you know. But church has words too. And sanctification simply means our growing in Jesus, our moving towards maturity, our you know, moving from being a kid to being an adult in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is actively a part in our sanctification. 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now just really look at that last part. We are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who works in us to help us grow up in Jesus. If we just look at the next one in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are characteristics of Jesus, and as we reflect them more, we reflect Jesus more, and it's God the Holy Spirit who helps us do that. Have you ever been thinking, maybe you were sitting in church, maybe you were reading a Bible, maybe you were saying a prayer, maybe you just had a thought, and it's like, man, I'm really struggling with patience or self-control. And you get that thought that, you know, now's the time to work on that area of our life. That's God, the Holy Spirit, prompting, saying, hey, here's a place where you can move. Now, you have a choice at that point. You can say, okay, I'm going to work on that, or you can ignore it and keep running the race just like you are. See, we have to cooperate with God if He's going to help us grow in Him. But that's one of the great works of the Holy Spirit, is that He helps us as believers to grow into Him. And it's one of the great works of God in the church that He helps churches, because churches have characteristics, and He helps churches grow in who we are. We may, in another month or so, be able to be transferred from our present denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA, to another Presbyterian denomination that's, you know, more conservative in their theology and things like that. And we're working through the process with our own denomination right now to do that, so everything's done decently and in order, and there's no, you know, hurtful things and all of that going on. We're really walking the road as best we can. But I thought, in the midst of worship, we have become who we are in part because of our years in the PCUSA. Some of the stands that denomination have taken have forced us as a church to think about what we believe and come to grips with that in light of Scripture, and forced us to say, what stands are you going to take? What faith positions are you going to hold? And that's been the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe He's had us here because He needed to cause us to get a steel backbone rather than simply go with the flow because everyone was marching that way. And God does that in the lives of people too. So when it comes to God the Holy Spirit working on you, are you open to hearing the whispers of God when He says, here's an area you may want to work on? Maybe it's your language. Maybe it's the way you speak to somebody. Are you open to then cooperating with God and having Him work in you? Little tidbit, just for fun. If you pray and ask God to help you grow in patience, you'll probably go through some storms, because that's where we learn. But the truth is, when we come out to be a stronger person, a better person, a more Christ-honoring person, even the storms are worth it. There's another part of the S, which is called sealing, and it comes from Ephesians. Paul has an incredible passage about how God works in us. And he brings it to a close by saying this, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed," going back to the whole idea of new birth, "when you believed, you were marked in Christ, in Him, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." When we are born again, when we take that moment and we truly confess Jesus as Lord, God takes the Holy Spirit and He becomes a part of our life. And part of what the Spirit does is He is the seal, the guarantee that God will see us through to the end. He's the hallmark. You know, you get a nice piece of metal work and there's a stamp on the back. He's the hallmark. When we come to Christ, when we believe in Jesus, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit takes His stamp and puts His mark on us and says, "We are God's." And that mark, brothers and sisters, cannot be removed. It guarantees our inheritance. So my question is, are you regularly saying yes to God the Holy Spirit as He points out areas of growth in your life? Or you're simply driving down the highway and when you see that, you know, caution sign, you just hit the accelerator and keep on going? Are you walking in concert with God the Holy Spirit? Let's go to the East. Empowerment. "Wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Wow. Did you know that aspect of God? That again, when we're born again, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and then God gives us an opportunity to open our lives to the Spirit so that His empowerment works in us, not so we can be a big deal, but so that we can become part of God's movement, taking Jesus' name around the world. That's why we are empowered. In 1 Corinthians, in one of the lists of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes this, "Now to each one." So as I read this, next slide, when I read this, you just put your name under the "each one." And then you have fun. You can put your name on any of those gifts you want. I don't care. Just for the fun of it. "Now to," add your name, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given." Ooh. Why? "For the common good." It's not for me who receives the gift. It's so that that gift can touch other lives. "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, still to another interpretation of tongues. All these are works of one and the same Spirit, and He," person of the Holy Spirit, "and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." Now, there are other lists in Scripture where there are more gifts named. These are not the only ones. And the Holy Spirit decides what gifts to give to what people for the common good. I always like to tell people, I'm okay at preaching. I can teach preaching. I am not a good public speaker. To do public speaking outside the realm of Scripture and the church makes me incredibly uncomfortable. And I've always understood that in my life, that God has given me a gift not of speaking in general. And I know people who are great speakers anywhere and great preachers. You know, they have the gift in both parts of the world. I really don't. And for me, that's always a reminder that God gives His gifts for the common good. I don't know what your gifts are. Maybe it's one of the nine listed here. Maybe you have gifts of healing so that you can come alongside those, particularly in the church, who are hurting and need healing. And we have a healing ministry and the people there, you know, God has given different measures of that gift. But maybe it's a gift of leadership, which you'd find in Romans chapter 12. The church needs leaders. Maybe it's the gift of hospitality and helps. What group of people doesn't need someone who could help? You know, you only have one chief, but you need a whole bunch of other people doing the stuff. You know, one general, but you need the lieutenants and the captains and then thousands of foot soldiers. Maybe you have the gift to be a foot soldier. You can come alongside and help. Empowerment. God, the Holy Spirit, is working in the church saying, I've sprinkled these gifts so that the church can be everything I need the church to be in order to move my kingdom forward in that area and around the world. But God is a gentleman. He's not going to like just knock you over necessarily. You have to cooperate. Have you ever sat down and thought about the gifts God has given you? Then have you ever made that next question? God, how can I use that for your church, your kingdom, the advancement of your people? Empowerment. Are you open to using the gifts God has placed in you? Finally, West. Cheat a little bit on this one. We'll call it WE. It stands for the Greek word, koinonia, fellowship, connection. Ephesians 2. In Him, and I'll just read the bottom line. Let me read the whole thing. Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to the church to help us become a body. A body which worships Jesus and the Father. One of the confusions in the church is that we get a disconnect because we worship Jesus. He's our Lord. Why don't we call the Holy Spirit Lord? Well, you can. He is God. But really, the Spirit wants us to acknowledge Jesus. Jesus wants us to give glory to the Father. And so there's this chain there. And the Spirit really isn't wanting like a lot of attention. But we still have to pay attention to Him because He is God, the Holy Spirit. And His job is to build us into a people. Ephesians 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit. Speaking the truth in love, we will all grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body is joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, and it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One body, one spirit, and His job is to build us into a body. Are you willing to cooperate with God the Holy Spirit and really become part of that body wherever you live? It's really easy to sit on the outside, you know, dip your toe in, maybe become a member, but not really much more than that. But have you made constructive relationships with people in the body? People who can speak into your life and you can speak into their life. People who you can have fun with and recreate with. A place where you can use those gifts God gave for the common good. Part of God the Holy Spirit's work is to say, hey, we're in it together. Let's actually link arms and be together. Be a body that speaks the truth to one another in love, so that we can grow up into Him that is Christ. Folks, are you saying yes to the Spirit as He seeks to plant you in a body where you can be known and you can know, where you can flourish in Christ and where you can help others flourish? That's part of His work in the world. New birth. Sanctification, maturity, empowerment, and the sense of we, the sense of fellowship, the sense of connection. The Holy Spirit is vital in the life of the church. We serve a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each person of the Trinity plays an incredibly important role in the life of the church. And my challenge to us as a church is to say no to the atrophying of the Trinity, and particularly the Holy Spirit. Let's cooperate with God the Holy Spirit in all of His dimensions in the church, to the glory of God the Father and to the advancement of Christ's kingdom here until He comes. Let's pray. Lord God, it is so easy for Sunday sermons to be washed away quickly by the rush and roar of our life. And I pray that You would take the nugget that is meant for each person and You would burn it into their mind and into their heart, until they are willing to wholeheartedly cooperate with You in that area in which You are working with them. Lord, for anyone in this space who is not yet born again, I pray that You will continue to speak and that You will turn up the volume inside of them until they fall on their knees and say, I believe in Jesus. And then seal them for the day of salvation and help them begin to grow and use their gifts and truly be part of the family. And Lord, for people who have been walking with You for a long time but are kind of on that staid place, I pray that You would take that sanctifying work of Your Holy Spirit and just say, trust Me, come with Me, and give them the faith to travel with You as you grow us. For those who are so concerned, God, am I really saved? Am I really safe? Am I really okay? I pray that after they have given their life to Jesus, that You would impress upon them the sealing of the Holy Spirit in their life so that they can have confidence to live as a believer. And I pray likewise for empowerment. Scatter Your gifts, but even more so, bring them to life in the body of the church. And help us link arms with one another in formal groups and in informal friendships, that we grow together as Your body. your church, your people here in Old Greenwich, Riverside, Stamford, and surrounding areas. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.